www.scaredmonkeys.com/radio. Tonight at 9 o'clock Eastern, the Dana Pretzer Show. The attorney for Joe Mamana, Michael Winston, will join us to discuss the Central Ohio Crime Stopper situation with Kevin Miles and Joe Mamana, a situation that has gone completely out of hand with accusation of forged documents, verbal contracts, baseball bat beatings, and recently an arrest on a parole violation. Then Jossie Manser, managing editor of Daria, will be here to discuss the recent events of the past week, from the airing of the Peter DeVries program to the suspect's day in court on Friday. And as always, Jossie will give us the dirt that's really been going on in Aruba. After that, Jackie Hollander. She's been trying to have her lawsuit against James Brown appealed. Larry Garrison, who is the president of Silver Creek Entertainment, assisted with getting this interview for Scared Monkeys Radio, and we appreciate that. This is a fascinating case that many should take a look at, the petition for a writ of certiorari to the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Seventh Circuit. It's possible that this case could change the growing trend of recent rape cases that have been all but shredded, the rape shield laws, and made the rape victims victims again. Should there be a statute of limitations for rape cases? No way. Rape is rape. It can be as destructive as anything to a victim. That's tonight on the Dana Pretzer Show here on the Scared Monkeys Radio Network, and it all begins in about 13 minutes. If you'd like to pass the word along that we're up and running, do that, and we may take some calls before the show begins. It's up to you. I'll keep track of the server and see if anyone is logging on. So the Dana Pretzer Show tonight, 9 o'clock Eastern, here on the Scared Monkeys Radio Network.
Some kids born with a silver spoon. I guess that I was born a little too soon. Hard knocks. All I ever knew was hard knocks. But I'm telling you, I said you better beware, 'cause I've had my share. Some kids born rich as a king, but I was born without a doggone thing. But hard knocks. All I ever knew was hard knocks. I said you better beware, 'cause I've had my share. I walked a million miles, I bet, tired and hungry and cold and wet. Heard that lonesome whistle blow from New York City down to Mexico. Some kids born fancy free, nobody never gave nothing to me. But hard knocks, all I ever knew was hard knocks. And I'm telling you, I said you better beware, 'cause I've had my. All I ever knew was hard knocks. But I'm telling you, I said you better beware, 'cause I've had my share. I said you better beware, 'cause I've had my share. I said you better beware, 'cause I've had my share. Hard knocks.
Virginia, Blue Ridge Mountains, Shenandoah River. Life is old there, older than the trees, younger than the mountains, growing like a breeze. Country roads, take me home to the place. Teardrop in my eye.
Welcome. You are listening to the Scared Monkeys Radio Network. My name is Dana Pretzer. The Dana Pretzer Show starts in approximately 8 minutes. We're located on satellite AMC3, transponder 7, in beautiful DigiCypher 2 audio, W3957, on the 4D TV receiver if you have one of those. And, of course, our website, www.scaredmonkeys.com/radio. There you can listen live, you can listen to my daily commentary, or download or listen to shows from the past. Some people call those podcasts. Tonight, we've got a big shoe planned for you. Michael Winston will join us. He's the lawyer for Joe Mamana. We're going to talk about this crazy case that has gone from the Central Ohio Crime Stoppers alleging Joe Mamana won't pay reward money to allegations of forged documents, baseball bat beatings, and now Joe Mamana himself being arrested on a parole violation. After that, Jossie Mansour, managing editor of Dario. What's going on with this Aruba investigation into the Holloway matter? Bill O'Reilly himself broadcasted tonight that he thinks that Aruba never wanted to solve this case, and he believes there's collusion right from the get-go and that the search warrant was changed on the spot, not to search part of the Vandersloot residence, where they believe now, after the DeVries program, that Natalie Holloway was killed. Then, Jackie Hollander. Jackie Hollander was allegedly raped by James Brown in 1988. Larry Garrison, president of Silver Creek Entertainment, gave and assisted with the interview of Jackie Hollander today. I pre-recorded that. And it talks about the statute of limitations on rape cases. It talks about coming forward if you are a victim of rape. And it talks about the entertainment aspect of this. And a la O.J. Simpson, do entertainers have certain rights and privileges those in the public don't have normally? Is it because James Brown is a star that this hasn't gone anywhere? It's a fascinating interview, and that's Jackie Hollander tonight on the Scared Monkeys Radio Network. Now, we've got about 5 minutes. I can take a quick call now if somebody wants to fit one in. Area code, toll free, 1-877-842-7884. Toll free, 1-877-842-7884. If you want to sneak in a quick call before we get started with the program, you certainly can. We can talk on any topic. But again, tonight we'll be discussing the Joe Mamana continuing saga, I guess. It's a tragedy, in my opinion. Then Jossie Mansour will join us with the true scoop of what's going on down in Aruba. The Calpos, Joran Vandersloot, and even the security guards had their day in court here the other day to have a hearing to determine whether or not they'll continue being considered as suspects in the disappearance of Natalie. And then after that, Jackie Hollander, who herself was allegedly raped by James Brown at gunpoint in 1988, and a lawsuit that she has filed It's under appeal right now, but never went anywhere because of a statute of limitations. Now, should there be a statute of limitations in rape cases, you know, we talk about rape shield laws and all that kind of stuff. My personal opinion, absolutely not. And does James Brown's celebrity have anything to do with this case? And Jackie has a special message to those out there that have been raped or victims of rape or families of rape victims. And it's a very fascinating interview. I want to thank Larry Garrison from Silver Creek Entertainment for helping secure the interview with Jackie. My name is Dana Pretzer. You are listening to the Scared Monkeys Radio Network. The Dana Pretzer Show starts in about 2 minutes. We will take calls in between interviews or right after the interview. We'll see what's going to happen. So we'll be back in just a minute here on the Scared Monkeys Radio Network. It's always nice to have you. That's right. We are monkeys. This is the Scared Monkeys Radio Network. Our webpage, www.scaredmonkeys.com/radio. The Dana Pretzer Show begins in just a couple of minutes. Tonight, attorney for Joe Mamana, Michael Winston, managing editor of Dario, Jossi Mansour, and Jackie Hollander, who's appealing a rape case against James Brown. That happened in 1988, and it's a fascinating interview, and I want to thank Larry Garrison, president of Silver Creek Entertainment, for helping out with that. We're heard on satellite W3957 on the 4D TV receiver, AMC3, Transponder 7, and wherever else you can find us. This is the Scared Monkeys Radio Network. Thanks for joining us. We'll be back in a minute with Joe Mamana's lawyer. Right, this is the Dana Pretzer Show on the Scared Monkeys Radio Network for December 1st, 2006. A case that we've been covering for the last few weeks involves Joe Mamana and Kevin Miles. Kevin Miles was on the show last week from Central Ohio Crime Stoppers. Joe Mamana the week before. Joe Mamana, the philanthropist who has donated a lot of his money to help those find missing victims, missing persons, It's gone from allegations from Central Ohio Crime Stoppers that Joe Mamana is not paying his reward money to accusations of forged documents, verbal contracts, baseball bat beatings, and most recently, Joe Mamana being arrested on a parole violation. Tonight, Michael Winston, attorney for Joe Mamana, joins us to discuss more of this tragic story that has turned, I don't know, I guess into a circus almost. Good evening, sir. How are you?
Not too bad. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, I wanted to bring you on the program this evening to talk about this situation. Joe Mamana has been a guest on my program several times. Joe Mamana admittedly has stated on my program that he does have a criminal past. However, that he has turned his life around and has now dedicated himself and his finances to help find the missing, to help solve cases by offering reward money. And then all of a sudden, this incident with Central Ohio Crime Stoppers comes up, and it just goes from bad to worse. What say you, sir? What's been going on? And can you comment on the recent arrest of Mr. Mamana?
Well, as far as his new arrest, I can only comment to the extent that I could say, hold your horses to everyone. Don't jump to conclusions until you hear, you know, all sides of the story. And it could very well turn out that it wasn't what you thought it was initially. So slow down as far as this most recent arrest here. But I can tell you, regarding this contract with Central Ohio Crime Stoppers, is that it's a forged document.
Mm-hmm.
There has been an expert, 33-year experience. This guy has 33 years of experience, trained by the Secret Service, former employee of BCI and the Ohio Attorney General's office. He's been an expert for years. Takes a look at this document, examines it, does what he has to do, and determines it's a forgery. So my next question is, who at Ohio Crime Stoppers is interested in breaking the law in order to try and enforce a contract that, you know, they claim has been signed by Mr. Mamana? And so I think that's the next level of my investigation with the case that's been filed against him.
Michael, and we'll continue on that line here in a second, but I want to ask you, as far as your thoughts, how the media has been handling this case. You're right, there are two sides to every story, and the side that we're seeing and hearing right now, I'm trying not to do that on my program, is only the negative side, only the past of Joe Mamana, and all of a sudden now, after this media campaign about Joe Mamana, is there a search warrant executed, a handgun arrest, all of this stuff, allegedly, of course. And I'm curious what your thoughts are on the media coverage on this. Has your client been smeared? Has he been given a chance to give his side?
I don't believe so. But I don't believe he's been intentionally smeared either. I think that there's just a rush to jump to the first, what looks like most obvious conclusion sometimes without looking deeper. I think that when a person comes from a background with a criminal record, there's almost nothing that they can do that would totally convince everyone that, hey, they've turned over a new leaf. Now, here's what I know about Joe. Yeah, Joe has done his misdeeds in the past. He's paid for those misdeeds, much like the rest of us. You know, not one of us doesn't have a past of some kind.
That's right.
So, you know, he's paid for his misdeeds. The guy runs now a completely legitimate business. And I appreciate his passion in doing something above and beyond what the rest of us have done, which is trying to give back or help somebody who he doesn't even know. He has no financial interest in helping, but that there's a missing person out there. Their loved ones have been looking for them without result. And he offers this reward. He's paid numerous rewards in the past, so that cannot be, the basis for the lawsuit. So, you know, it's unfortunate that this guy is this generous and it's returned in this way like that. And there's almost nothing he can do to rehabilitate his image.
If you're just joining me this evening, Michael Winston, attorney for Joe Momona, is here, and we're discussing the Central Ohio Crime Stopper situation and the recent arrest of Joe Momona. Have you spoken to Joe since his arrest?
No, I haven't.
One of the issues that has come up during this whole investigation and this whole allegation is the difference between a reward being paid on arrest and indictment rather than arrest and conviction. I'm curious on your comments on that as far as your client's perspective.
Well, I think Joe Momona's perspective is very reasonable. He says he pays for convictions and not arrests for the very same reason that in the case that most people know him for, I believe it's the young lady missing in Aruba.
Right.
You recall there are at least four people arrested for that. Not one of those people have been tried or convicted of any crime. Now, what if someone were to keep paying rewards just on arrest? You know, it would get ridiculous. He would open himself up to fraud because, you know, anybody could conspire to with one of their buddies to be arrested and then later be vindicated, get, you know, they would have reward money in their hand and be long gone before we, you know, knew what they were up to. It simply doesn't make sense. You know, it makes sense to figure out if you have the right guy to wait for him to go to trial. In fact, when this lawsuit was filed, I believe we were only 3 weeks away from the young man's trial. And I can't see what the angst is to collect this money so quickly as opposed to waiting a few weeks to see if you have the right guy. The reward can be paid, and then everyone can be happy.
Well, in particular, in the Holloway case, as you mentioned, in fact, there have been more than four people arrested. And Joe Momona himself has said on my program, if he paid rewards for every time someone was arrested in the Holloway case, he would be broke at this time. Michael, one of the concerns that came from Mr. Miles at Central Ohio Crime Stoppers was that if rewards are paid on conviction, that may entice a witness or someone involved in a case to perjure themselves on the stand so there is a conviction, and that way they would be insured of a reward payment. I didn't understand that at that time, and I don't understand that at this time. He also was concerned about the credibility of Crime Stoppers being jeopardized on conviction, as that someone may, because it's a confidential program, that it may come out in court that they were a tipster. I'm curious on your comments on that.
That makes absolutely no sense. The fact of the matter is it hurts more to suggest that you have an interest in the outcome of a case. In other words, if the person is waiting around for a conviction and they're working harder, that would assume that they have an interest in an outcome of case. But just as equally likely, a person could when you don't hold a person's foot to the fire, when that person is not under cross-examination by defense counsel, it's way easier to simply levy an allegation and take off, never having to be accountable for it, never having to be put under cross-examination. So, you know, it's silly to think that it works stronger one way than it does the other. The fact of the matter is, if there's people out there who know of a murder or they know of someone who's missing and their families are out there looking for them, and they're not coming up and speaking up because they are not financially rewarded, first off, those people should be ashamed of themselves.
Right.
But nonetheless, Joe Momona was trying to fill a void of information by making these offers. And, you know, like I told him, you know, sometimes no good deed goes unpunished, and he may be feeling some of that here.
Absolutely. How does the arrest of Mr. Momona affect the civil case, if it does, and what is your next step with that?
Well, so far as I can tell, it's not going to affect the civil case. I have seen not an iota of evidence or have heard a drop of testimony that would indicate that it's anywhere near related to anything that I'm handling for Mr. Mamana. So I don't see it going much, connecting much.
You don't see any sort of connection that this lawsuit is prevalent right now? Mr. Mamana has been prevalent in the media, in particular being on the Geraldo program, and then all of a sudden a search warrant is executed and Mr. Mamana finds himself in custody?
Well, it could be that. I'd hate to speculate on a connection, but, you know, sometimes when you mess with the feds, you open up a whole, you sort of shake your finger at the government and you open up a whole another bag of problems there. You know, I don't necessarily know that, and I'd be remiss to try and connect the two. So, it's really just speculation.
Fair enough. That's exactly what it is speculation, although I thought I would ask the question because that, I believe, and I may be speculating myself here a little bit, will become rampant in the media in the days to come because it's... it is a coincidence, if anything. Michael Winston, attorney for Joe Mamana, thanks for dropping around the program. And if you could, keep us updated, and we'll stay on top of this important story.
Thank you, Dana.
Thank you, sir. Bye-bye. Michael Winston, attorney for Joe Mamana. And this is, what's important here? What's important here are the victims. What's important here are the families of the missing persons. What's important here is the credibility of programs like Crime Stoppers. And it's important for people to know that if they call in that they'll be able to receive a reward. And it's important that the police services and the detectives and the investigative agencies get the assistance. And it's important for those that want to come forward and offer reward money that reward money... And this whole case isn't all jeopardized because of this. And what about the report that Kevin Miles being attacked and the allegation that Joe Mamana was part of it? Well, no one seems to want to talk about that at this time right now. But this is a story that will continue. And sadly, put a negative light on a lot of this. And hopefully we'll be able to get some answers and get back to what's important. And that's helping families, loved ones, find missing people, solve unsolved cases, and be able to offer reward money to people so we can get that help. My name's Dana Pretzer. You're listening to the Scared Monkeys Radio Network, and just by coincidence, we call this the Dana Pretzer Show. In a few minutes, Jossie Mansour, the managing editor of Dario. But between now and then, if you would like to call in and make some comments, ask some questions, you can. The toll-free number is 1-877-842-7884, 1-877-842-7884. So Jossie Mansour next from Dario. Right now, your calls again toll free 1-877-842-7884. What do you think of this whole Joe Mamana Central Ohio Crime Stopper situation? You know, it's gone from a couple of weeks ago having Joe Mamana on the show to talk about these allegations, Kevin Miles last week. Now Joe Mamana himself is in custody on a parole violation. There's allegations of tax fraud. The FBI is involved. It's just gotten nasty, and it's not going to do anyone any good. The negatives are outweighing the positives, and we're just seeing so much, and I think it's ultimately going to hurt programs and the ones that need the help, those 20 people that are missing, that Joe Mamana has offered reward money for. Others that are missing, the Holloway family, people now may be skeptical as far as calling in, and don't let this scare you. If you're listening, don't let this scare you. If you have information, any information, you can call into organizations like Crime Stoppers. You can call, Drew Kessie has said on this program any time, you can call a lawyer. You can do whatever. If you want to remain anonymous, you can do that. But the important thing is, if it's whosever case, if you have that one piece of information that you think may be helpful, or you're not even sure if it may be helpful, you still have to pass it on. You got to do what's right, and there are ways to protect your identity if you don't want it to be known. Okay, but don't let this kind of negative, this kind of nonsense that's been going on right now with the Crime Stoppers and Joe Mamana and the way that the media has handled it. And I was actually surprised on how Michael Winston answered that question. I thought that he would say that his client has been smeared, because some have said that. I've received a ton of email from people saying that Joe Mamana has been smeared, and this is nothing more than a coincidence. It's not a coincidence that he is in custody right now. I don't know if I buy that. And the allegations are, and again, not proven, the allegations right now are that Mr. Mamana had a loaded handgun on his property, and as a person, a parolee or a ex-con or whatever you want to call it, that's something that you're not supposed to do. 1-877-842-7884. 1-877-842-7884. You can call in and talk about anything you want. In about 10 minutes or so, Jossie Mansour, managing editor of Dario, will be here. Lots to talk about. In fact, I just caught it before I came on air tonight, Bill O'Reilly and Geraldo talking. And I'm not sure, I'm going to try and clarify this with Jossie. I'm not sure where O'Reilly's getting his information from, but he is alleging on his program tonight that a search warrant was changed on the spot, and there was, and this is always has been discussed, but I'm not sure of all the details, that a piece of property that they believe now after the DeVries program that Natalie may have been taken to and killed was never searched, and that search warrant was changed on the spot, and that there's collusion, and that the government of Aruba never wanted to solve this case. Is that too strong, or is that accurate? We'll find out in about 10 minutes or so with Jossie Mansour, the managing editor of Dario. After that, Jackie Hollander with a fascinating story regarding her involvement with James Brown, the rock and roll singer, and an alleged rape in 1988, a lawsuit, statute of limitations, an appeal, and a special message from Jackie to those victims of rape. It's fascinating for sure. My name's Dana Pretzer. You are listening to the Scared Monkeys Radio Network. We'll be right back.
Talking about my pain, little Latin girl. She's a hot button baby. There ain't no dance she couldn't do. She might prove a little baby. We'll be right back.
Okay, we're back. This is the Scared Monkeys Radio Network. My name is Dana Pretzer, and we call this the Dana Pretzer Show. Our toll-free number, 1-877-842-7884, 1-877-842-7884. In about 9 minutes or so, Jossie Manser, our managing editor of Dario, will be here to give us an update, the straight scoop on what's happening with the Holloway investigation in Aruba. And then after that, Jackie Hollander with her story regarding the rape. And James Brown, 1988, that he raped her at gunpoint. It's a sad case for sure. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi. I was curious about the search warrant with the Natalie Holloway case.
Yep.
When the police came to your house with a broad search warrant to search the entire property. I think that DeVries mentioned the garden in both the main house and Yorn's apartment. And apparently there was a judge there that on the spot altered that search warrant,
yep.
narrowed it.
Yep.
And I was very curious if anyone knows who the judge was that signed the original search warrant, and if perhaps Jossie could tell us if that is due process requirement in Aruba as it is in the United States.
Yep, I'm writing that down. In fact, that's my first question.
Did
you catch the O'Reilly thing just before I came on the air?
Actually, I did, and it's been discussed about many times on Scared Monkey,
yep.
And I was very glad to see that O'Reilly picked up on it because
yep.
he kind of went straight to the chase. You know, that's the key to it.
He did, and he's always been famous for speaking his mind, so that's one of the first questions I'll ask Jossie for sure.
Okay, thank you so much, Dana.
Thank you, ma'am.
Uh-huh.
1-877-842-7884. 1-877-842-7884. Yeah, Jossie Mansour, managing editor of Dario, will be here in about 7 minutes. In between now and then, though, I will take your toll-free call. And, yeah, what's the story with this? You know, O'Reilly is very clear. The collusion, the fact that the Aruban government never wanted to solve this case. And, you know, what's with this search warrant all of a sudden being changed on the spot? Who the hell signed it? And what's that all about? Is that due process or is that just a cover-up, you know? The DeVries program was on. They've talked about it. Joe Tacopina was on the Greta Van Susteren show here. Was that last night? Of course, he says it's all lies and all made up and all, you know. He likes to threaten lawsuit all the time. Everything is a slander. But it doesn't have to be a slander if there's a proper investigation done. If there's questions to be asked, and questions are asked, just answer them. It's not a slander. It's just a question that's asked. Was that search warrant changed on the spot, right while they're doing the search? Because this investigative reporter, Peter DeVries, has come forward with this kind of information, and it's pretty serious for sure. 1-877-842-7884. You are listening to the Dana Pretzer Show on the Scared Monkeys Radio Network. Our website is www.scaredmonkeys.com/radio, www.scaredmonkeys.com/radio. There you can listen live, download past programs, listen to the daily commentary, download the daily commentary, leave comments. You can do pretty much whatever you like there. Leave some comments, too. I know you're there downloading because we see the numbers, but comments are few and far between, so it's always nice to hear a few of them from you. After Jossie, Jackie Hollander will be here to talk about this tragic case of her being a victim of rape in 1988. She's working now with the president of Silver Creek Entertainment, Larry Garrison, and Larry was kind enough to get us this interview between Larry and Red at Scared Monkeys. They were able to speak to Jackie and have her come on with me and do an interview around this case. It's tough. It's tough to come forward and speak about something that has happened like that, but Jackie did a great job. She speaks her mind, and she has a special message about being raped and being the victim of rape. and being able to come forward and tell your story. And that's very important for sure. This is the Scared Monkeys Radio Network. I'm Dana Pretzer, and we'll be back in just a minute. Okay, we're back. This is the Dana Pretzer Show on Scared Monkeys Radio Network. As you know, and it's been very prevalent in the media in the past few weeks, the Natalie Holloway case is far from being over. There are still a ton of questions that need to be answered. The family has not received the answers that it has hoped for. The Peter DeVries program has broken open again with some facts and some allegations, and the suspects who are still suspects made their appearance in court here the other day to determine whether or not they can still be considered suspects. There's a ton of stuff that's going on, and it's always my pleasure to bring on Jossie Mansour, managing editor of Dario, to the program to discuss the Holloway case. Jossie, how are you, sir?
Good, sir. How are you?
Great. Nice to have you back on the program. I want to get right to the crux of this. Just before I started my program, Bill O'Reilly and Geraldo Rivera were talking on O'Reilly's program, and O'Reilly made a comment, and he's been kind of swaying away from the Holloway case somewhat, but he certainly jumped on it tonight and said very clearly that he believes that the government of Aruba never wanted to solve this case, and he brought up that it's on the record that a search warrant that was executed at the Vandersloot property was changed on the spot. And because of the DeVries program, a room or a house on the property, he didn't clarify, was never searched because there was a judge or somebody on the spot that changed the search warrant. What can you tell us about that, Jossie?
Well, we are aware that that search warrant was changed. That instead of searching the whole house of Paul van der Sloot, they limited the search to the apartment that Joran occupies on the premise. So that is correct. That is a fact.
And who was the judge that, do you know, or that was on site that changed the search warrant?
No, I don't know. I know that when they went there the first time, a certain Ben Falking was at the gate. That's very strange because Ben Falking, as far as I can remember, is also an employee of the Department of Prosecution. And I think he was in charge of the prison here for quite a while. He had some problems with an inmate. Apparently he had a fight with him or whatever.
Right.
But he had no business being there as far as we are concerned, unless he's a very close friend and used some kind of influence or power that he had to change or help in the change of that search warrant.
Wow. And that's, what do you think of O'Reilly's comments that the government of Aruba never wanted to solve this case?
I agree with Mr. O'Reilly. He's right. Because if they wanted to solve this case, they would have put all the pressure in the world on their own police department and the recherche department, in other words, the investigative team, to get on the case and solve it. As a matter of fact, at the police, there are admissions by these three guys that they did have sex with this girl when she was going in and out of consciousness. This is a fact. This has been confirmed to me, and I have a videotape of that, by the lead investigator at that time, Gerald Domper. He also told me that they had sufficient evidence according to the admissions of these kids, of these three suspects, to prosecute them on the basis of kidnapping and rape. Why they didn't do it is a mystery to me up to this date, no?
Exactly. I have some questions for you, Jossie, if you don't mind, and one of them that comes up, and I had the Calpo Brothers lawyer on my program about 2 or 3 weeks ago, and at that time, the hearing for them to be determined whether or not they'd be considered to be suspects had been postponed, but it has since happened where the Calpos, Joran Vandersloot, and the security guards have all made their court appearances. What can you tell us about that?
Well, they did make their court appearance. The first time that they requested to be taken off, in other words, their status of suspects be annulled, so that they could, according to them, that they can get on with their lives, no regards whatsoever to the life of the girl that was lost.
Right.
Anyway, that they wanted that to happen, and the judge that came in from Curacao, Judge H. Smith, S-M-I-D, refused their petition. He denied it. And now they're trying it again, basing themselves mainly on the factor of time, that so much time has elapsed and the prosecution hasn't been able to come up with any case against them. They haven't brought their case yet after a year and a half, more or less, in court. So basing themselves on that, they went again to the judge two days ago, and we are expecting the ruling or sentence to come down by next week, whether they will remain as suspects or they will be taken off the list as such.
When attorney David Koch appeared on my program, and I asked him a question very point blank, that if his clients, the Calpo brothers, if he didn't consider them to be as suspects, would they ever be considered as witnesses to help solve this case? And he said to me very clearly that he couldn't rule that out. Have you heard anything as far as that and the cold case investigation, if I could term it as that, Jossie, that has gone on? And to my knowledge, we haven't heard of any results or if anything was obtained from that.
We haven't heard anything with regards to that either. And we haven't heard anything about any investigations going on in Aruba. We know that the Dutch team came. They came very mysteriously. And they left as mysteriously, but they took with them tons of documents and videotapes and audio tapes and whatever that they had of all these interrogations of these kids. Apparently, they are studying the documents in Holland, but here we are not aware of anything going on here, except that case that took place a couple of days ago. And afterwards, I know that there was a meeting between the prosecutor, Karen Janssen, and Dolphy Richardson, that is the lead investigator now, at the police station at the northern part of the island. What they talked about after that case, I don't know. We're not privileged to that.
One of the bombshells that came out of the DeVries program was that Joran's lawyer had a secret meeting with Karen Janssen, and Joran's lawyer, and I'm paraphrasing here, wanted to come clean, saying that his client was complicit in the disappearance of Natalie, and that has really started a firestorm over here with lots of comments being made. What do you know about that, Jossie?
Well, you know, I haven't heard Karen Janssen, the prosecutor, either admit or deny that. The fact that she hasn't denied it publicly, at least here in Aruba that I know of, tells me a world, no?
Right.
If I had to choose between the two of them, which one I would think is not lying, I would say Karen Janssen.
Okay, all right. The Peter DeVries program has started quite a firestorm and quite a bit of attention to the program, which is, or to the missing persons case, which is very important. Are you aware of any sequel or any follow-up that the DeVries program will be doing, Jossie?
I think he is following up on this because he does have contact with us directly at the newspaper, and we help him out with a couple of documents that he requested. He's doing the investigation on his own, not with our help at all. But he did request a few documents, and we gave them to him. And I am aware that he is continuing with his search. No, I mean, he's continuing to look for the answers that we haven't been able to find with proof so far. I mean, we know some of the answers, but we can't prove them.
Some lawyers in the United States have commented that they feel that DeVries was only doing this program to try and make money from it. Your thoughts on that?
Of course not. I mean, DeVries is a professional. He's respected and admired in Holland by the people who, by tons of people that listen to his program every time he has it. He's done some pretty good jobs in the past. I don't see how lawyers in the States that don't even know this man can make such comments. I mean, they're very happy comments, very very loose comments, and I would take it as with a grain of salt. You know, that these people just want to talk, but right. That's not true. DeVries is interested. He was not doing it for money, and I think that he will continue to delve into this case. And I'm happy he has done that.
Well, absolutely. Any sort of media attention to this case and to any case of a missing person can only help, that's for sure. If you're just tuning in, Jossie Manser, managing editor of Dario, is here. We're getting some updates on the Holloway investigation in Aruba. Some more questions, Jossie. Is it true that Joran had more than a platonic relationship with Guido, or is there a statement from one of the suspects in the case to that effect?
There is a statement to that effect by one of the witnesses, that he had more than a friendship kind of relationship with him. I would hesitate to give serious comments on that, because that's something that hasn't come out except in that one statement by a witness. I think it was Guido himself that gave that statement to the police. But I know it is on record, yes.
So there is that possibility that Guido may be involved.
There is that possibility that he would have called him as a friend that is very close to him.
I'm getting some email here. Did they hear right that you said that you have a tape of Gerald Dompig? You answered a question a while back that you have on a videotape, the investigator Gerald Dompig. Maybe you could just go over that again, please.
I do. I have a videotape of a conversation with Gerald Dompig in which he tells me very specifically that they went back on the case, they were studying the documentations again, and they do have sufficient material to start to bring these guys in on the basis of kidnapping and especially rape, because they did molest this girl when she was going in and out of consciousness, and that they were going to apply some kind of a law, some kind of a clause in the law that they found, that they could apply 8 years of imprisonment to this case. Yes, he told me, and I do have that evidence.
One of the things that questions that have come up as far as the case and the negativity in North America towards Aruba is how it has affected tourism. In fact, some hotels in Aruba have websites and chat rooms and message boards that are saying that every time there's a negative program in the United States about Aruba, that it affects their business. What can you tell us about that?
Yes, it has affected tourism more than the government at least cares to admit. Government speaks about 1.9%. We speak about between 13 and 18%, according to the figures that we handle. And I think that if this continues in this direction, if the government doesn't really take part in this investigation in the sense of pushing it forward and not just letting it go cold, I think Aruba is going to suffer for that.
One thing that has come up here in the last little while, Jossie, is a Photoshop picture of Joran and Natalie has appeared on the internet. Do you know anything about that? It's a picture of Natalie, I think, from a New Year's party, and then Joran had been photoshopped into it. Was he involved in doing that, or do you have any knowledge?
No, I have no knowledge of that photo. I haven't seen it. I haven't served the net in a long time, so I'm not aware of that photo. No.
Well, that photo can be seen by going to the Scared Monkeys webpage at www.scaredmonkeys.com. Where do you see this going next, Jossie? I know the decision on whether or not these suspects will be continued, or whether or not they're going to be continued to be suspects, will be coming up soon. What else can you tell us?
What I can tell you is, that, for example, that Karen Jansen is leaving Aruba early January. Her replacement is coming or is here already. We're not aware of that yet because we have some other problems in Aruba to take care of in politics, protests, and public demonstrations against the government. But I know that Karen Jansen is leaving, and that the prosecution, at least the department in which she works, will have between 2 and 3 more months to present their case. And they'd better hurry up with it and present it.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Jossie, it's always a pleasure. This is short notice for you, I know, coming on the program. Let's stay in touch, and if we get any more breaking information, I'll be sure to have you come back on.
Thank you.
Thanks, Jossie. Bye-bye. Jossie Manser, managing editor of Dario, with a Holloway update. We'll be right back.
Settle down. Anybody wants to go to the toilet, go ahead now. All right, let him have it.
How lucky can one guy be? I kissed her and she kissed me. Like the fella once said, ain't that a kick in the head? The room was completely black. I hugged her and she hugged back. Like the sailor said, quote, ain't that a hole in the boat? My head keeps spinning. I go to sleep and keep grinning. If this is just the beginning, my life is gonna be beautiful. I've sunshine enough to spread. It's just like the fella said. Tell me quick, ain't love a kick in the head? Like the fellow once said, ain't that a kick in the head? Like the sailor said, quote, ain't that a hole in a boat? My head keeps spinning. I go to sleep and keep grinning. If this is just the beginning, my life is gonna be beautiful. She's telling me we'll be wed. She's picked out a king-size bed. I couldn't feel any better, or I'd be sick. Tell me quick, oh, ain't love a kick? Tell me quick, ain't love a kick in the head?
And we're back. This is the Dana Pretzer Show on the Scared Monkeys Radio Network for December 1st, 2006. Jackie Hollander alleges she was raped at gunpoint by James Brown in 1988, that is. She is trying to have her lawsuit against James Brown appealed. President of Silver Creek Entertainment, Larry Garrison, is representing Jackie Hollander as a spokesperson and stated that she has passed a lie detector test. This is a fascinating case, and it brings up the question as far as statute of limitations, rape shield laws, and rape. I interviewed Jackie Hollander this afternoon. I did have a slight phone glitch, so the interview is in two parts. And what's important here is the message that Jackie passes on to those that are listening, and her experience and her thoughts, because you are a victim of a sexual crime. It may take you years to come forward with that information, and civil law or criminal law, in my opinion, there should be no statute of limitations, especially when it comes to a violent, vicious crime like rape. Here's my interview with Jackie. Okay, welcome back. This is the Dana Pretzer Show on the Scared Monkeys Radio Network. Music legend James Brown has been alleged that in 1998 raped Jackie Hollander. There was a lawsuit filed, and sadly, there was a ruling that came out that the statute of limitations has expired. Jackie Hollander is with us this evening to talk about her relationship with James Brown, to talk about the lawsuit a little bit, and of course we all know that there are some things that she may not be able to discuss because of the pending litigation, and to talk about and maybe give a message to those women that are out there that may be afraid to come forward, that may be afraid to speak about their attack. There should never be a statute of limitations, in my opinion, on rape. This is something that may take 5 or 10 years for a gal or a woman or a victim to come forward because of the terror and because of the traumatic event that happened. But they need to get answers, no different than a missing person or an unsolved crime. A rape victim needs to have answers and needs to have their day so they can protect others and protect themselves from this happening again. Jackie Hollander, welcome to the Dana Pretzer Show.
Dana, thank you for having me.
Nice to have you with me. 1988, I know that goes back a ways, but that doesn't matter in my opinion. This is something that is tragic. This is something that may have tones of a celebrity with a lot of money. We've seen these cases in the media over the years. Tell us a little bit about your relationship with James Brown.
I basically was doing a record. I was a songwriter and a record producer. I was married at the time and had been for 16 years to Dean Daughtry at the Atlanta Rhythm Section. Mm-hmm. And I used my talents to raise money for our country's veterans, for law enforcement officers, for children, charities, like Leukemia Foundation. I did a lot of wishes for terminally ill children with my music.
Right.
So how I met him was I had done the Atlanta Falcons theme song, Atlanta Will Be Rocking,
right,
with the Atlanta Falcon football players singing. And this was to raise money for leukemia patients and for children that didn't have a lot.
Now, once you met him, what type of a relationship did you have? Was it casual? Did it turn into, you know, excuse the term, but we're all adults here. Did it turn into an affair?
No, it did not. I think most people know or should know that Mr. Brown is a pretty demanding individual.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, when you're around him, you're walking on eggshells. There's no doubt about it.
Right.
He has a very close, very tight organization. And I was there to do a job, and I did my job. However, I think Mr. Brown thinks that basically women, I don't think there's a lot of respect on Mr. Brown's part for women.
Okay. At the time, Jackie, 1988, how old were you?
Oh, gosh, Dana. Let's just say this. I am 51 now. I am an old woman now.
No, you're not.
I was very young when this happened.
Okay.
1998 in the beginning, but it was actually 1988.
Oh, is that? Okay, I'm sorry.
Yes.
I'm sorry, 1988.
That's a long time.
Let's clarify that, 1988. My apologies for that. My point being is young gals can easily be intimidated by an older man. Is this a case, or was just a case of Mr. Brown being a bully, and the allegation is that he raped you at gunpoint?
I can't get in this too much. I can say that Mr. Brown had a drug problem with PCP that I was unaware of.
Okay.
And I think this is a sad part because so many people put this man up as a god and as an icon. And, of course, the only god I know of, I look up to.
Right.
And I never read in the Bible any place where it said James Brown's name in the Holy Bible. So in my eyes, he's not a god and he's not an icon. And I think I just lost my train of thought with you.
No, that's okay. That's okay. Just take a deep breath. And my next question, and it's kind of a generic question, but I think one that needs to be answered. The public's fascination with entertainers and the pedestal that they're put on. Let's talk about O.J. Simpson. Let's talk about Robert Blake.
That's where I was going.
Let's talk about James Brown. Do celebrities in the court of law and in the court of public opinion get preferential treatment because they are celebrities?
No doubt about it. I mean, this has been, a lot of people want to know, they look up all the time and they say, gee, where were you 17 years? I read this on the internet, I see it in the newspapers. Where was she for 17 years? Why did she wait so long? The answer to that is I lived under death threats. Mm-hmm. I lived under a fear that few human beings could understand. And our celebrities, they have the money, they have the power to control and to manipulate. And our celebrities, their biggest fear is that the truth about them will come out.
Right.
And so your higher-ups will go to any level to silence any type of truth on that individual. And that was kind of like what happened to me. I was unaware this man had a violent nature. I was unaware that this man was a PCP user. I had no idea to any of this. I was just, like most people, believing what I read in the newspaper. Mm-hmm. That this was a good, honest human being.
Now, Jackie, I think strength is defined very easily from the victims of crime that I've spoken to in my career as a police officer in the time that I've hosted this radio show. When I speak to victims and victims' families and they're able to recount tragic events in their lives that go back, you know, a year, 10, 15, 20 years, and then the time that I've spoken with you, I see that same strength. I want you to speak candidly, if you can, to those victims of sexual assault, those victims of rape, and maybe those victims that haven't come forward and are afraid because they may be concerned of death threats, they may be concerned of the court of law that makes them look like the person who has committed the crime rather than the victim. And we need to remind everyone that is involved in some sort of sexual attack or a sexual assault or a rape that they have done nothing wrong. They are the victims. And the society that we live in today has to work harder at protecting them, because defense lawyers that berate and belittle those that are victims, that's just incomprehensible and part of something that needs to be worked on. Can you put that message out there for me, Jackie?
Okay, instead of speaking to you, I'm going to speak to all the rape victims out there.
Absolutely.
And to all the children of sexual abuse. I want you all to know today that this was not easy for me to stand up. It was the hardest thing I've ever done. And the 17 years that I have struggled, and trust me, there were days that I did not know if I could carry on. I did not know if I could walk in my own shoes. I lived in fear, and I spent a lot of time under a counselor, in and out, sometimes 3 days a week. This is not an easy road.
All right, we're back. This is the Dana Pretzer Show on Scared Monkeys Radio. Sorry about that. We had a phone problem. Both Jackie and I are under blizzard warnings right now. Got to love this time of year. High winds, snow. They talk about brass monkeys freezing their whatever. Well, that's happening right where I'm living right now. Jackie, you back with me?
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know. Yeah, I don't know what happened, but the phone's disconnected on us. Let's start again with the message as a rape victim to others, and the courage that it takes, and the work, and the people that have helped bring your story and your case forward, and how we can help others do the same.
Well, Well, Dana, instead of speaking to you, I'm going to speak to them personally today. And I'm going to say this is not easy for me to come out. And this has been a very hard walk for 17 years. And there were days that I did not think I could carry on. And it takes a lot of psychological counseling. But most importantly, the thing that is so important, you never win in a case when there's a rape.
Right.
There's no winning. The winning is the day that if you're sitting in your room right now, that you can stand up and you can say and look at the person that did this to you and say, you took my life. This is the day you start winning. And when you can stand up and be proud of yourself and not be ashamed. And I know right now that there are hundreds and hundreds of rape victims out there right now that are probably listening to your show. And my advice is, even if it's been 10 years, even if it's been 15 or 17 or 20 or 30, today is your day. Today you need to stand up. And if you don't have a law enforcement officer to go to, go to Dana at Scared Monkeys. Call in there and speak to them and say, I am a rape victim and this person did this to me. And the day that you stand up and you speak and you become a voice, well, that voice is going to be heard. And if you keep talking, it's going to stop that person from hurting others. And that is the most important weapon you can use to fight back is your voice. So I'm begging all of you out there, this two-year statute of limitations across the United States, it needs to be changed.
Yep.
And even if you're afraid right now, please reach out to Scared Monkeys. Please reach out to a law enforcement officer. Don't be afraid. Because, I mean, it takes that. To stand up.
And again, Jackie, courage, braveness. There's all sorts of different adjectives that we can use, and you are one strong lady. And I appreciate you coming on my program. I would like to stay in touch, and you know, we can do another program sometime, and hopefully the status of your case will change, and those victims that you've spoken to and about will have the ability to come forward and not be afraid of the system that the way it is now, because we're here to protect and to help, and that's the important thing. Jackie Hollander, thanks for coming on the program.
Dana, Merry Christmas to you, and please ask all of these victims to join us in our fight to change these laws so that we one day won't have to suffer like I have suffered.
Thank you, ma'am. Just stay on the line, and I'll be right back with you, okay?
Okay.
This is the Dana Pretzer Show on Scared Monkeys Radio Network. We'll be right back. And that's my interview with Jackie Hollander. We're just about out of time. I'll stay on the air if you want to make some calls. Toll-free, 1-877-842-7884, 1-877-842-7884. Thanks to Larry Garrison, president of Silver Creek Entertainment, and the Chief Monkey Red for helping out with that interview. So toll free, 1-877-842-7884. Thanks to my guests this evening, Michael Winston, Jossie Mansour, and Jackie Hollander for coming on the program this evening. Of course, our webpage is www.scaredmonkeys.com/radio. www.scaredmonkeys.com/radio. There you can hear my daily commentary, past shows, download them. You can leave comments. You can listen live, all sorts of things. So I'll stay on the air for a couple of minutes if you want to call in toll-free and make comments on my program this evening or anything you like. Again, toll-free, 1-877-842-7884. 1-877-842-7884. If you don't want to, then we'll end up the show, and I tell you to check out the webpage at scaredmonkeys.com, and then just put a /radio if you want to look at the radio stuff, and we'll update you there about upcoming programs. And as far as information, whether it's unsolved crimes, missing persons, entertainment, news, politics, you name it, go to scaredmonkeys.com and you will find it there. Okay, one last call for calls. 1-877-842-7884. Again, thanks to all of you that listen. Listen live and listen on the podcast. The only thing I ask, if you listen on the podcast, don't call into the show unless we are running the show live, because I don't know if I'll answer at 3 o'clock in the morning. Hi, you're on Scared Monkeys Radio.
Good evening, Dana.
Hi.
I was listening to your last guest, and if I understand this correctly, the Federal Violence Against Women's Act is supposed to help cover some of the things not protected in the individual states.
Right.
But what we need to do is include things such as the statute of limitations in the states so that a person isn't dependent on going to federal court.
Well, absolutely, yeah, and you've nailed it. And that, it just boggles my mind. There's no statute of limitations on homicide. That's the most violent crime you can get. Well, I think rape is a very close second, and the laws have to be looked at, and the laws have to be looked at to protect the victims, and enough of this making the victims look like the bad person, because that's just not right.
Oh, that's right, and I was reading statistics in our Department of Justice, and they said that this was in, it was either 2004 or 2005, that only 64% of sexual assaults in this country are never reported.
Right. That's sad, for sure.
It's very sad.
Thanks for calling, ma'am. Always a pleasure. Bye-bye. 1-877-842-7884. 1-877-842-7884. Hi, you're on the air.
Hey, Dana, it's Red. How are you doing?
I'm good, sir. How are you?
I am doing well, and part of, to answer the person's question, I think, who just previously called, when she mentioned that particular act, I think that's actually one of the things that her lawyer is appealing the case on.
Right. Yep.
If you go on this, you know, on Scared Monkeys, there, the document's there, and it shows the different different aspects what they're appealing the case on, and that in fact is one of them, the Violence Against Women's Act.
Right, and there's so many aspects to this case, the celebrity aspect to it, the violent nature of it with the firearm, the fact that it was the victim's rights part of it, that sometimes you just don't come forward with a complaint because you are afraid for your life, and of course the statute of limitations issue. So it's a wide open case, and it's one we'll have to follow very closely.
No, it's a very, you're very right, Dana, and especially when you know, people perceive things in a certain way where, you know, you're not supposed to basically file your civil case before you file the criminal case.
Right.
Now, what happens if the criminal case takes forever? And what happens if, as we see, you know, in one of your other interviews with a particular situation going on in Aruba, what happens when the DA just doesn't basically take anything to court?
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, in the case of Jackie Hollander, I mean, you have a scenario where, you know, if she filed the thing immediately, she would have been called a gold digger. She would have been, you know, oh, she's after money. She's
absolutely
after this.
Yeah.
But if she waits her proper time, you know, what happens when you wait too long? And in many respects, you know, with rape victims, 2 years?
Yeah.
Come on.
Just.
I mean, you're in the industry. You've seen what it does to does to people. And 2 years is, I mean, it's not a car accident. It's a rape. You know.
Well, for sure. Look at this. Look at the Aruban situation. Look at the mismanagement, the collusion, the incompetence, the bumbling. I could go on all night with adjectives describing that frickin' mess. And I want to applaud Bill O'Reilly and Geraldo tonight for coming forward. And because O'Reilly hasn't covered a lot on the Aruban case, but tonight he spoke his mind, and that's a good thing. And hopefully that will draw some attention.
Yeah, I could be cynical and say he saw the ratings, but I would that. No, I mean, Bill O'Reilly, I mean, this is a perfect case for Bill O'Reilly.
Sure it is. I wish he'd do more.
I mean, sure, he does the political, and he does, and he's, you know, but, you know, he does such great work for, you know, for abused children, for people who don't have a voice. He does an amazing amount of work with Wendy Murphy.
Yep.
I mean, it's amazing. I mean, he just, you know, everyone sees the gruff person and how he, you know, tries to chew the left's, you know, head off. But there's another side to the guy.
And I bet you.
I can't remember what show he did this on, but it was very recently where, you know, they were talking about it as a media event. And, you know, he basically, you know, tore the person's head off where they come out with this stupid, ridiculous aspect that it's about a blonde girl missing. And it's, I mean, sure, is there a girl missing? Yes. But you have a sovereign nation that basically didn't bother to care about a crime against an American citizen.
Yep.
That's what this is about. That's what it's always been about. And the fact that the Holloways and the Twitties cannot get any form of justice because, you know, and we're talking about this now 18 months later, where, thank God, Peter DeVries finally, you know, maybe it was the right time. Maybe in the beginning, if he did it, we wouldn't have gotten this. You know, maybe it had to get to critical mass at this point. But here's a person who, you know, everyone wants to, when they don't like the message, they try to kill the messenger.
Yep.
And this man is a respected man in Holland. He always has been. He always will be. And suddenly, when he came out and he made some allegations, he became a bad guy.
Yeah.
He became he's in it for the money.
Yeah.
He's being accused, and I think I don't know if I had emailed you this or not, but don't you find it rather comical, Dana, that a New York City attorney would call anybody in it for the money or greedy or a capitalist?
Yes.
You know what these people make in New York City when all they do is have their mug on a show all the time? I mean, come on.
Yep.
I mean, who's in it for the money?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. that's for sure. Anyway, thanks, Red. Appreciate you calling in.
Thank you, and that was a great interview with Jossie.
Thank you. Bye-bye. One last call for calls. Why do I keep doing that? Toll free, 1-877-842-7884, 1-877-842-7884. Yeah, with three topics tonight, all controversial. Joe Mamana, wow. That one has spiraled for sure, and the attorney said it right. You know, sit back, there may be another side coming out here. There are two sides to every story, that's important, okay? Of course, the Holloway Twitty case, Natalie Holloway, Aruba. O'Reilly nailed it. Aruba doesn't want to solve this case. That's sad. And then Jackie Hollander and James Brown, three fascinating cases. And hopefully I did justice to them for you here on the Dana Pretzer Show and the Scared Monkeys Radio Network. So we'll ask for one last call for calls, 1-877-842-7884, 1-877-842-7884. Again, check out the webpage at www.scaredmonkeys.com/radio. If you want to contact me by email, dpretzer@yahoo.com, or you can leave comments, suggestions, or whatever right on the Scared Monkeys Radio webpage or the scaredmonkeys.com forum. It's always nice to see those there, too. Okay, that's it. One last call, 1-877-842-7884. If not, I will shut her down and call it a night. And again, just stay tuned to the webpage. We'll let you know when our next live show is. Don't forget the daily commentary, Monday to Fridays, where I talk about, well, what I want to talk about, and hopefully it's something you're interested in. Thanks for listening. My name's Dana Pretzer, and you are listening to the Scared Monkeys Radio Network. And that's right, we are all monkeys. Thank you.